Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
As you may have heard, Meat Eater is hitting the road again this spring for another round of Meat Eater Live. Join us for a fun night celebrating the outdoor lifestyle. We'll deliver laughs, trivia, news, and opinion from across the worlds of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and wild foods. And here's another reason to come. Every ticket includes a signed copy of the new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Campfire, which is a $38 value. All ages are welcome. Tickets are on sale now, and here's where we're going. Tuesday, April 23rd, the Mesa Art Center in Mesa, Arizona. Wednesday, April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. Thursday, April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. Saturday, April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. Monday, April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. Tuesday, April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. Wednesday, May 1st, the Wilma in Missoula. Thursday, May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane. Saturday, May 4th, the Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. Sunday, May 5th, Pantages Theater in Tacoma. For tickets and more information, visit the events page on themeateater.com or the theater website. And if you're not able to make it to the show, but are still interested in getting your hands on a signed copy of the new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, you can do so at signedoutdoorcookbook.com. That's signedoutdoorcookbook.com and Barnes & Noble online.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steve, Michael, Keith, Mary, Claire, Cody, Kyle, Logan, and Brad. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And today we are live at the First Light store in Haley, Idaho, and because we have a bunch of new players with us today, we're going to go around the room and get some introductions. We'll start right over here with Brad.
My name is Brad Fluter. I work on the operations team here at First Light, just helping working with our factories and warehouses, making sure that customers get their orders and stuff gets where it needs to go.
Can I tell you a secret, Brad?
Yep.
I've never heard anybody in the history of the company pronounce your last name Fluter.
Yeah.
It's always Floater.
He said it wrong.
So are you wrong or is everyone else wrong?
I like to think I'm right, or okay. At least my parents are engaged in a 29-year-old lie.
It's now on the record. It is Fluter, not Floater. I'm stunned.
Yeah, I mean, it took Chase like a year and a half before he realized. I thought he was just running like a bit.
Okay, I'm Claire Overy. I'm the e-commerce experience and systems manager. I design pages on our commerce sites and make sure it all runs well.
Claire, I hear everybody get your last name right. There's no issues there.
A lot of people say Overby, actually. Oh. So I think that one might
not in Bozeman, we don't.
Fluter.
No. Overby. Overby Haley.
Hi, I'm Mary Gibson. I'm the assistant manager here at the First Light flagship store in Haley.
Well, it's a beautiful store.
Thank you.
A lot of fun being here. Keith, what does she like to work with? Give us some insight.
Oh, Mary's great. She's just an all-star. She's always up to do whatever is needed done in the store with a big smile. Love her to death.
That seemed pretty genuine because it was really an awkward, awkward spot for him there.
Well, that's an easy answer for me. Passed. Mary's a rock star.
Keith passed.
Right back at you.
Thanks.
And I'm Cody Dinsmore. I'm the marketing coordinator for First Light. Handle the social media.
So when you had your phone out all morning, you weren't being rude. You were just like getting rude, content for us.
I was making content.
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome, Cody.
I'm Michael Riedfeld, guides and outfitters program manager for First Light. So handle all the guides and outfitters, bringing them, you know, important industry professionals into the fold, getting in our gear and helping them out.
Michael, I've been told from the beginning, maybe not to your knowledge, that you're a contender today.
Oh,
folks think you have a chance.
How old are you?
37.
Yeah. Age matters, man.
I know. I'm kind of one of the oldies in the office.
Yeah,
no, actually.
You're getting into the winning years.
Yeah. Experience matters, right? Mm-hmm.
Because you'd be like, man, I kind of remember that movie.
That's
what's helpful.
Yeah, it's a lot of the 90s stuff, you know. Just hoping for less Taylor Swift questions than Travis Kelce today. Yeah, so.
None of those today.
My name is... Pass the mic over to you.
My name is Kyle O'Connell. I'm a customer support and gear specialist. So anytime a customer calls in with an email, a chat, or a phone call, we're the ones who answer it. So we answer like all the simple stuff like where's my return, like how do I do an exchange, but also some of the gear questions. So anytime you have a question about FHF, First Light gear, I'll be the one on the phone talking to you.
Kyle, I feel like I heard you earlier declare the new guy.
Yeah, I am. I think how the new? Newest person at the company right now.
How new?
Since October. Not the newest, but as far as First Light employees go.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll see how that helps you with Meat Eater Trivia. Now we're over to Logan. Logan is the only one besides Steve here, who has played Meat Eater Trivia before.
That is true.
You didn't win, did you?
No. Okay. In fact, I did well below or above par. It was.
Did you get kicked out like toward the end?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. It was actually no one did really well. I think six took I only had four. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
But, Logan, what do you do here at First Light?
I work on our product team, specifically on a lot of our waterfowl and whitetail product.
Keith Anspaugh, manager at this store here in Haley, Idaho. Super lucky to spend my time in here. Get to be a hunting bartender to all the folks coming in and out of the store. It's a good gig.
Keith is a fellow rock hound. If I was cheering for somebody today, I don't cheer for people as a host, but I'd maybe cheer for Keith. Keith has been sending me all sorts of pins to go rock hounding in Idaho. It's the start of a blossoming relationship between Keith and I.
We're going to have fun, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, what's your early read on your competitors today?
I'm only going by age. Whoever's oldest.
Okay.
I think it's Mary and I.
Now, today's show is unique because we're recording from the First Light store and have a live audience. There are about a dozen First Light employees gathered around watching, so we're going to put them to use. Now, if you're familiar with the board game, you'll know that we have rules for 8 game variations you can play. One of them is called Phone a Friend, where each player gets one opportunity per game to call someone for their input on a question. We're going to do that today, but instead of whipping out your phones, you'll call on one of our audience members in the First Light store. So if you're stumped on a question, but think one of your First Light colleagues would know the answer, then you can bring them to the mic for their help. And if multiple of you use Phone a Friend on the same question, then you'll all need to agree on who that friend is. So audience, be paying attention. You're going to have a chance to help out your colleagues here. If you like them, I guess. If you don't like them, you could just, you know, give them the wrong answer or something.
Now, how are you doing like the old throwing a bone situation right now? You're not able to do that.
I think you'll know when we get to the bone for the First Light, folks.
That was the first thing I asked Spencer this morning.
He did. Logan asked me before he even said hi. He said, hey, do we have a bone today or what's the situation? Now, are we going to give Steve the phone a friend as well? What do you guys think? Should Steve, okay, shaking their head, no. Audience, should Steve get your help as well or not?
No,
okay. Steve does not get to use Phone a Friend.
I aged out.
Our other 8 players do. Now, this is use it or lose it. So don't be like saving this for the perfect question because it may never come. So if you're stumped on one and you think someone sitting behind us would know the answer, go ahead and bring them onto the show. Now, there's no stat, IFAQ, or housekeeping this week. The Shelby Index for this episode is a 3, so our winner should get 6 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question 1. The topic is public lands. This first great question comes to us via Brian Fitzgerald, and as always, it will be multiple choice. America's 3 tallest waterfalls are all located on public land in this state. Is it Hawaii, Idaho, Alaska, or Tennessee? America's 3 tallest waterfalls are all located on public land in this state. Is it Hawaii, Idaho, Alaska, or Tennessee? This will be the only multiple choice question out of the 10 that you get today. Nobody looks confident. Everyone has been slow to come up with an answer. 3 tallest waterfalls located in this state: Hawaii, Idaho, Alaska, Tennessee. Does anybody feel confident?
Mm-mm.
No.
Starting off strong.
The room looks stumped. Is everybody ready? No one's using their phone a friend on this one. I think that's wise if you guys are stumped.
Because none of your buddies are going to know this.
The audience must be stumped as well. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying Alaska. Claire saying Alaska. We have Mary saying Hawaii. Cody saying Alaska. Michael saying California. Kyle saying Alaska. Logan saying Hawaii. Keith saying Hawaii. Steve saying Hawaii. The correct answer is Hawaii. About half of you got that one right. Olayupina Falls is the tallest waterfall in America and the 4th tallest waterfall in the world. It is 2,953 feet tall, which makes it twice as tall as Chicago's Sears Tower. Of the top 10 waterfalls in America, 4 are in Hawaii, 4 are in Washington, 1 is in California, and 1 is in Montana.
What made that tricky is the public land situation in Hawaii is a little weird because it's not like national forests and stuff, mm-hmm. you know? It's
what
like,
is it?
I don't know. I don't even know.
When you look on X, it's like a lot of shades of colors that you don't see elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not like BLM, National Forest, yeah.
Question 2, the topic is cooking. This next great question is via Ali Lopez. Au jus translates to with blank in French. Au jus, that's A-U space J-U-S, translates to with blank in French. This is question 2. Steve, do you know this one? You were the quickest to come up with an answer.
Well, kind of.
Okay, kind of. Au jus translates to with blank in French.
Can we use the phone a friend at this time?
You can absolutely. We'll hold it to the end. So we'll wait until everyone else has settled on their answer. And if you're going to use phone a friend, do you know who you're going to call on, Keith? Okay.
Are they French?
Yeah, she speaks French.
Okay.
I would also like to phone a friend.
You're gonna have about 7 other people use phone a friend well.
But here's the deal. When they phone a friend, how do you prevent me from just overhearing what they said?
Well, no, you'll hear what they said, but you just can't change your answer at that point. You will leave your board down. So when we're ready to do phone a friend, everyone's answers are locked in.
So then everybody here can listen, but I don't listen.
You can listen as well. No, your answer, you're not going to change your board. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. You're not going to change your board. Is everybody who's not using phone a friend have an answer?
I think I'm also going to use phone a friend, but my dad is going to be pissed about it.
Okay.
No, but he puts au jus with every sandwich. There's not a sandwich that can't have au jus with it.
Translates to with blank.
See, she's doing that kind of chit chat that.
Oh, okay.
But it's all going to go out the window when they do the phone a friend.
Okay, so we have Keith and Claire using phone a friend. No one else.
Oh no. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, about half of our players are using phone a friend. Your answers are locked in. You're not going to change them. Do you guys agree on who's going to come up and help you out? Who are you thinking of, Keith?
Renee speaks French.
Everyone agrees, Renee. That's who you want to come up. Renee, come up and help out our players. au jus translates to with what? Yeah, what do you got? She says juice. We have a few fist pumps from the folks who didn't use phone a friend.
Perfect.
On that one. Is everybody, are you guys going with what Renee says? You trust her? Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying juice, Claire saying juice, Mary saying juice, Cody saying juice, Michael saying juice. Everybody said juice. Everybody got it right. The correct answer is juice. What were you guys going to go with if you didn't get the help from Renee?
Soup.
Renee, what would that translate to if it was with soup instead? Okay, that's not it, though. Culinary and language snobs get picky about the use of the phrase and will point out that it's redundant to say something comes with au jus. That would be like saying a steak is served with juice. For an au jus recipe that has a perfect 5-star rating, check out Danielle Pruitt's post on themeateater.com called Sous Vide Venison Roast Recipe.
When I used to work for my buddy Ronnie Bame, you got there was per diem when you traveled.
Uh-huh.
And the concept, is that Latin? Yeah. Whatever it was, all the guys would say, you get $20 per diem per day. And I gave up trying to point out.
So it wasn't ironic that they were doing it. No. Question 3. The topic is gear. Telluride, Colorado is located inside this national forest, which also happens to be the name of a first light jacket.
Start over.
Telluride, Colorado is located inside this national forest, which also happens to be the name of a first light jacket. This is the bone I am throwing to our players. We have Logan, who is looking around the room, trying to see what he can find on the shelves. If anything will help him out. Oh, I hear someone behind us knows this. Which of our players are feeling confident? Anybody?
Mary and I got this one.
Okay. Steve, do you have any idea?
Yeah, I got an idea.
Oh, okay. Telluride, Colorado is located inside this national forest, which also happens to be the name of a first light jacket.
I think you're throwing some real softballs this morning, man. Okay, it's a little bit insulting to the...
This is only question 3.
It's insulting to the audience, dude. He's like, oh, these people aren't that smart down in Idaho.
Is everybody ready? Steve said that, not me. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have everybody saying uncompagre, and they got it right. The correct answer is uncompagre.
So that's as far as Shelby made it right there.
She only got 3 right.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
The National Forest is named after the Uncompagre tribe, who used to call the region home. In the Ute language, the word means rocks that make water red. The National Forest is famous for its million-dollar highway, which supposedly got that name for its million-dollar views. What are some creative ways you guys have heard that jacket pronounced?
I was going to say we should have some bonus trivia what our customers call it.
Yeah, give us some examples.
There's 2 of them. Can anybody guess what the 2 are?
Uncle Padre.
Uncle Padre. Yeah.
I get them called the Unk Poo Poo from time to time. Okay.
We haven't had that one.
I had an
Uncle Padre.
We nicknamed it the Unpronounceable.
Unpronounceable is the other one that customers always
call. That's good. But yet you keep naming things after it. It's getting, the lore is getting deeper and deeper. The
Uncompagre.
Question 4, the topic is fishing. This fish has been referred to as the vampire fish by Business Insider, CNN, and Fox News.
That's it?
This is question 4.
But there is a vampire fish.
Figure out the one that was referred to as the vampire fish by Business Insider, CNN, and Fox News.
What?
It's a nickname. Quote, the vampire fish. Steve just declared the game is too easy.
Well, then it got dumb.
He's non-growth
like easy
frustrated.
And then dumb. I'm just looking for good.
I think this is a good one.
Because there's a vampire fish, dude.
Mm-hmm. Is it edible?
What would Business Insider, CNN, and Fox News be writing about that they would call this fish the vampire fish? This fish has been referred to as the vampire fish by Business Insider, CNN, and Fox News. Do you think Business Insider has ever written about the actual vampire fish that hails from what, like Central Africa?
South America.
Okay, probably not. Does anybody in our audience know, in case someone wants to use a phone a friend here? No, they're also stumped. We may have a 0%er here, followed by a 100%er, referred to as the vampire fish. Okay, someone behind us declared they think they might have a guess.
I'm gonna bring in Chase.
Which I feel like is not that strong.
No,
of
a- you might have a guess. This means you like you almost can't guess.
That's true. 60%. You're gonna go with that, Brad? You're gonna.
I think I'm gonna save those odds for later. I think Chase has got one.
This
got me saved later.
Question four. Does everybody have an answer?
Almost can't guess.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying Asian carp, Claire without an answer, Mary saying piranha. We have Cody without an answer, Michael saying lamprey, Kyle saying snaggletooth shark, Logan saying lamprey, Keith saying snakehead, Steve saying snakehead. We have a correct answer in the room. It's lamprey. Two of you.
Let's go.
Got that right.
Well, here's
Michael
the deal, man.
And Logan.
Because it can't be. Because it sucks blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this because they're like pretty durable, can't be killed.
Well, that's not what Business Insider, CNN, and Fox News refer to it as. You should have gone with the train of thinking of it sucks blood.
Bloodsuckers.
In folklore, the fish are also referred to as the nine-eyed eel. This name goes back to Roman times when Vedius Pollio kept a pool of lamprey on his property. He threatened to feed his slaves to the lamprey if they misbehaved. Maybe First Light should get a little lamprey pool around here that you guys can...
Name a jacket after it.
Oh, there we go.
You know, another reason why it wouldn't have been Snakehead is if your name's already as cool as Snakehead, you don't need like, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. You don't need a nickname because you already got a badass name. But like a lamprey, that doesn't tell you anything.
Mm-hmm. We're on to question five. The topic is hunting. This is an audio question. Phil is going to play you 45 seconds of a song about a hunting dog. You need to tell me who the artist is. Take it away, Phil.
He was a rhino of the litter, but a plenty mean pup. Put Sam on the scent, and he never let up. Spent his nights on the porch, chewing on a bare bone. Now he's underground, and I'm all alone. Well, a good dog on the ground's worth three in the saddle. No matter where you're from.
Folks behind us are singing it. I think they might know it.
Sam was the greatest one. He was hound of hounds. He was wonder of all walkers. He loved howling
like
at the moon. He loved treeing that raccoon. Most of all, he was my best friend. And he's gone too soon.
Again, to get this right, you need to tell me who the artist is that sang that song about Sam the hunting dog.
I would like to phone my friend Nate Petoskey.
Okay, Brad. Okay, we have a couple phone a friends. You guys will hold your answers until everyone else has locked in their answers. Steve, have you ever heard that song before?
Nope. Somehow, seems like a song I would have heard a bunch.
So we have two players who seem like they'll get it right because they're going to use their phone a friend. Is anyone else confident? Logan coming up with an answer. Rest of our players look stumped. About half of them have cashed in their phone a friend by now. Okay, we also have Michael who's going to use it. We're going to be down to, is it just Mary? You're going to be the only one who hasn't used phone a friend.
But I want to.
Oh, okay. So we're halfway through the game and everyone has used phone a friend. This is like if, you did a chore for the neighbor and they gave you $5 and they're like, don't spend it all at once. And here we are, question five. The phone a friends have all been used. Does everyone else have their answers locked in? All right, they have. They're not going to change their answer. Who's gonna come up and help?
I'm gonna pick Nate Petoskey.
Does everyone agree on that? You're all good with Nate being the phone a friend. Nate, what's the answer?
Sturgill Simpson.
Oh,
goodness.
Our other players are groaning.
I don't want to show my board.
Our other players are groaning. Nate. Who is named after a great rock from Lake Superior that I'm hoping to find this year, says that it is Sturgill Simpson.
Rock's named after me.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I like that.
The statue downtown is part of the family. So.
You're not on the show, man.
Damn.
I think the rock is actually named Nate, is actual.
Is everybody ready? go ahead and reveal your answers. Yeah. We have this whole side of the room saying Sergio Simpson, except for Claire saying, what's
and
that
I
say?
Knew this was wrong.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Kyle without an answer. Logan saying Waylon Jennings. Keith saying Waylon. Steve saying Haggard. The correct answer is Sturgill Simpson.
I'm mad because I think I have that on a playlist.
What album is that?
That song is from Sturgill Simpson's 2021 album, The Ballad of Dude and Juanita. The entire album is set in Kentucky during the Civil War. It's about the sharpshooting dude and his beloved Juanita, who is kidnapped by an outlaw. After the abduction, the dude sets off to rescue Juanita with the help of his mule Shamrock and dog Sam. Simpson said he came up with the story while driving home from filming Killers of the Flower Moon. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Okay, we've got Kyle and Claire with 2 points apiece. Steve has 3. So do Keith, Cody, and Brad, and all tied up in first place are Logan, Mary, and Michael with 4 points.
I said it. I said it before the game.
Well, I think Logan did declare. Logan also declared that everyone else is kind of playing for second place, thinking that Steve would walk his way to an easy victory. But here we are. He's 1 point behind 3 other folks.
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Question 6. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Drew Cinco. For sending this great question, Drew is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. Gulch and gorge are synonyms for this five-letter word that's defined as, quote, a ravine formed by the action of water. The topic is woodsmanship. Gulch and gorge are synonyms for this five-letter word that's defined as a ravine formed by the action of water. No one has put marker to whiteboard yet. They're thinking very hard. Five-letter word, gulch and gorge are synonyms, and the definition is a ravine formed by the action of water. Steve has declared before that you'd learn a lot about a player by the orientation of their whiteboard, and it seems as though this crew is about half and half going vertical versus horizontal. Was there any thought put into that, or did you guys just like...
I changed the orientation of my board after Steve said
that. Oh, okay. That's, you know...
It doesn't seem to be helping me much.
That's a good strategy, Claire.
My board's so new, it's off-gassing. It smells like new carpet.
These are new whiteboards. Our old whiteboards are entering the Meat Eater Auction House of Oddities, so you can get the real whiteboards that we played with for 3 years that are covered in graffiti by the crew. Some of them are broken. Steve was asking if we're going to sell them as is, because every now and then players like Steve will get frustrated and hit them on the table, and we have a lot of whiteboards that are all broken. So you can go win those in the Auction House.
Are you throwing all the parts in the box?
Yeah, we'll include the parts. You could if you want to duct tape them, glue them, do whatever. There will also be a signed board game in that auction, signed by Steve, myself, Cal, and Yanni. So check out the Auction House coming out later this month.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
We're on question six. Again, the topic is woodsmanship. Gulch and gorge are synonyms for this five-letter word that's defined as a ravine formed by the action of water.
Oh, we're putting one of the Clovis thrusting spears from the Kent State Archaeology Organization in there.
Very good. Give us a few other examples. What else you know is going in there?
Putting some furs out of my personal collection.
Oh, very nice.
We have a fur fob vinyl harness. Mm-hmm. We have...
Are these furs, are they like tier one Ranella furs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Oh, good on you.
God, I don't know. There's a ton of stuff. I'm struggling.
Jewelry made by my wife that we collected by hand, rock hounding, and then she turned some of that stuff into earrings and necklaces.
Beaver fur pillows.
Oh, yeah. Those were given to us at the live show in Davenport, I believe.
There's some trips. There's trips in there. There's an Audad hunt in there.
Can't a lot of things. Go check that out. It'll be up in March here. Does everybody have an answer? Who's going to come up with an answer? Steve, how do you feel about your answer? You think you got it?
I'd have spelt canyon wrong.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying break. Claire saying gully. Mary saying creek. Cody without an answer. Michael saying holler. Kyle without an answer. Logan saying drain. Keith saying gully. Steve saying chasm. The correct answer is gully. A few of you got that right.
Hey, son of a bitch.
There aren't hard rules about the difference between gulch, gorge, and gully, but most agree that gorges are the biggest and gullies are the smallest. Gorges usually have streams running through them, while gulches and gullies are typically dry but prone to flash floods. Does that check out now, Steve?
It does.
You agree? Gully.
Problem is, I got onto that Auction House of Oddities and stopped thinking about my answer.
We distracted him. Well done. God. Question seven. The topic is hunting. Which two Looney Tunes characters had their guns taken away in 2020? This is question seven. Topic is hunting. Which two Looney Tunes characters had their guns taken away in 2020? Those folks with kids who are currently playing, are the Looney Tunes still relevant? Is that something that's ever been on at your house, Steve?
No, they don't watch Looney Tunes.
No.
It's all about Cocomelon and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's awful.
They were into Looney Tunes for a while.
Oh, my gosh. Which two Looney Tunes characters had their guns taken away?
First and last names?
20. If they have three words in their name, put all three. If they have one word, just put the one. If they got two, put two. That's what I'll tell you, Logan. Which two Looney Tunes characters had their guns taken away in 2020? Is everybody ready?
No.
Logan, do you have one of them?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Steve, do you have both?
I don't know. I'm not doing too good today, man.
Reminder that he declared this an easy round at question three. Now we're on to question seven. Logan, I think we're running out of time.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're out of phone a friend, but if they had to use phone a friend.
Everybody use phone a friend?
They burned them by question five. Do some folks back there know it? They do. Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam. Claire saying Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam. Mary saying Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck. Cody saying SpongeBob and Patrick. Michael saying Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck. Kyle saying Wile E. Coyote and Sam. Logan saying E. Fudd and Sylvester. Keith saying Elmer Fudd. Steve saying what's Elmer Fudd and Wile E. Coyote. The two characters are Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam.
Nice, Claire.
We had two folks get that right.
Dude, I'm quitting, man.
The showrunner told the New York Times, quote, "We're not doing guns, but we can do cartoony violence, TNT, the Acme stuff. All that was kind of grandfathered in. Instead of firearms, Elmer Fudd's shotgun was replaced by a scythe, and Yosemite Sam's pistols were replaced by a sickle."
Scythe is way worse.
That seems, you're right.
That's haunting.
That seems far scarier to chase a rabbit or a duck with a sickle.
You don't say scythe, you say scythe.
I guess I do.
It's a scythe.
Or a sickle. Imagine, Yosemite Sam carrying a sickle now instead of his pistols. Question eight. The topic is wildlife. This next great question is via Nick McCoy. According to the National Park Service, this mammal makes up 90% of a black-footed ferret's diet. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. This is question eight. The topic is wildlife. According to the National Park Service, this mammal makes up 90% of a black-footed ferret's diet. I think Steve...
What question are we on?
This is question eight. You get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. What do you got, Corinne? What's on your... Steve is confident.
What's that say?
For Logan and Keith. Corinne wrote something on a whiteboard that she didn't want us to acknowledge, and now she wants us to acknowledge. Now she said, don't bring it up.
What is it?
How are we doing here on coming up with the mammal that makes up 90% of a black-footed ferret's diet? This side of the room is confident. This side of the room does not appear to know it.
I can't tell.
The nice thing is they're all sitting so close that if one of you knows it, like all four of you should know it at that point.
That would be dishonest, Spencer.
If you encourage cheating, we'll take
yeah,
it.
You get, yeah, one cheat.
I would have played this game differently.
Yeah. One cheat. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying mice, Claire saying rabbit, Mary saying mice, Cody saying fox, Michael saying mouse, Kyle saying pine squirrel, Logan saying field mice, Keith saying prairie dog. Steve saying prairie dog. They got it. The correct answer is prairie dog. Biologists estimate that one black-footed ferret will eat over 100 prairie dogs in a year, and it takes 100 acres of prairie dog colony to support one black-footed ferret family. The remainder of their diet includes mice, rats, ground squirrels, rabbits, birds, snakes, and insects. Steve, you knew that one right away.
Oh yeah,
just knowing. That
I mean, that's
they
the
live.
Whole. That's how black-footed ferrets got wiped out. Mm-hmm. It's prairie dog poisoning.
That was question eight.
Or
Phil.
Nearly wiped out. And I could get into the whole thing with Matizzi. See, I'm a good trivia player.
We'll find out here, Phil. How is Steve doing?
The only person who is not in the competition for the win is Kyle. He's got 2 points. Everyone else is still in the game, though. We've got Cody with 3. Steve, Michael, Mary, Logan, Claire, and Brad all have 4 points apiece. And in first place, it's Keith. He's got 5 points.
Oh. Wow.
Keith, the audience likes that. They're very supportive of you being in first place.
I love it.
It's the mullet.
It's a big part of it, guys.
Oh, so I'm feeling a lot better. I'm gonna pull ahead and win, dude.
2 questions left. This is question 9. The topic is cooking. What type of fish is Gravlax? What type of fish is Gravlax? This is question 9. The topic was cooking. Steve knows it. He might be the only one. He declared he's going to catch up. He's going to need to get this one right. Keith is going to need to get it wrong.
Can you do your little thing you do about how specific you want it?
I want you to be specific enough that if you thought the answer was a white-tailed deer, you would say a white-tailed deer. You wouldn't have to say coos deer, and deer wouldn't be good enough, I think. Now I've worked myself into a pretzel. Yeah, saying deer would be good enough. You just say deer. That would be right.
This is another one. You're bringing a lot of shame to my family because this is very Norwegian.
Okay.
Dealio. And if I get this wrong.
Whoa, nice.
Whoa, just throwing bones out over there.
Looking for what type of fish is Gravlax?
Oh, wait.
Logan had something come to him. Thinks he knows it now. Michael, while we have a second for Logan to change his answer, can you tell us about the meat eater experiences? Some relevant info to share coming up soon here, right?
Yeah, definitely. So the meat eater experiences is a cool new program that we're launching for 2024, where you listeners, followers, viewers are going to be able to book hunting, fishing, and outdoor adventure trips with the meat eater crew. So you'll be fishing, hunting, cooking, butchering, doing all sorts of everything Meat Eater's known for, side by side with the Meat Eater crew. It's pretty cool. The first 2 trips we have booked for the fall, or we will be accepting bookings for the fall, will be at Foul Plains Lodge in Kansas. That'll be a waterfowl hunt. And then we also have one, a fishing excursion at Cypress Cove in Venice, Louisiana. So those will be coming up, and the bookings will be opening soon, so make sure to stay tuned for more.
And there's very limited spots, right? Like, how many people on each trip?
Very limited spots.
Yeah, limited, but not very limited.
Yeah, fairly limited, I would say.
Michael, when you're down there,
I don't want to discourage people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would say there's some urgency around it, because obviously there's going to be some really coveted spots, and, first come, first serve basis, so we're really excited to launch this for 2024.
Maybe one of these trips will have some Gravlax, and I don't know.
Will Gravlax be fish?
Don't help him if you know anyone.
Is everybody ready? But none of these fish will be turned into Gravlax.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying cod, Claire saying salmon, Mary saying salmon, Cody saying, what's that say, brown trout, rainbow trout, Michael saying salmon, Kyle saying carp, Logan saying herring, Keith saying lingcod, Steve saying salmon. The correct answer is salmon.
I don't know if you wanted Atlantic salmon.
Doesn't have to be that specific. Okay. Gravlax has Nordic origins that go back to the 14th century Sweden.
I thought it came
It was created by fishermen who salted salmon and then buried it in the sand above the tide line. To learn how to make it, go to themeateater.com and watch our video called How to Make Gravlax. Phil, we have 1 question left. Who remains in the game?
It is a tight game. We've got, let's see, I'm trying to think if who's, because that was question 9, right? So the only people left now are Logan and Brad, who have 4 points. And then we've got a 5-way tie for first place between Claire, Keith, Mary, Michael, and Steve, who all have 5 points apiece.
Brad, what is happening?
I think a little commentary about my comeback would be good, Phil.
This is question 10. The topic is fishing. Game and Fish magazine declared this river, which flows through Washington, D.C., to be one of the nation's best waterways for catfishing. Game and Fish declared this river, which flows through Washington, D.C., to be one of the nation's best waterways for catfishing.
You got this one, Claire?
I'm not feeling very confident.
Okay, Logan is trying to intimidate Claire.
Man, we were going catfishing this weekend, but the weather is turning sour on
it's
us.
It's going to be winter again.
I know we had to postpone our catfishing trip.
Steve, do you have this one right?
Mm-hmm.
Logan appears to have this one right. Who else is left in the game?
Who do I not want to have it right? You threw it down because you're mad or because you like mic drop?
Mic drop. Oh. but watch it be wrong.
Brad, you think you have this one right?
I'll be picking up my board.
No. I'm not entirely certain.
Okay, Mary, do you have this one? Mary has this one right. How about the end of the couch there? Cody, Michael, you guys have this? Got this one right? No. Okay, Keith?
I'm shaky.
I've caught catfish in this river before.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not going to get you any extra bonus points.
Yeah.
Claire, do you have it narrowed down to a few rivers?
I lived in Philadelphia for years, and I can't think of a single river on the East Coast right now.
Okay. It's going to be a problem. We will go to a tiebreaker if we have multiple people tied at the end of this game. Is everybody ready? Keith?
Yeah, I just erased something. I'm all good.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying the Potomac. Claire saying the Potomac.
I think you're
saying the Delaware. Cody without an answer. Michael saying the Potomac. Kyle saying the Delaware. Logan saying Potomac. Keith saying Potomac. Steve saying Potomac. They got it. The correct answer is the Potomac River. Game and Fish magazine said the Potomac is one of the best blue catfish factories in the nation, largely thanks to the river's abundance of gizzard shad. Blue catfish aren't native to the Chesapeake River system. They were stocked there in the 1970s, with state agencies hoping to create a new sport fishery as striped bass populations were on a steep decline. That shocked me to learn that they're not native there. That'd be like if someone told me whitetails aren't native to Illinois or something like that. They feel they feel like they belong. I realize
can walk
it would be
over
different.
Drainage divides.
Well, blue catfish can swim pretty far.
Not like over drainage divides.
They had to go through some brackish water to get there. Phil, who is going to overtime?
It's exciting. We've got a four-way tie going into overtime. We've got Claire, Keith, Michael, and Steve with 6 points.
Claire, Keith, Michael, and Steve. This is question 11. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. First, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
Little Easter egg by Phil there. He played the old tiebreaker sounder. The tiebreaking question will be numerical, so whoever is closest to the correct answer will be declared the winner. The topic is conservation. What year were the first 14 wolves reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park? Steve is so quick to answer that it appears as though he may know it. Steve, do you know this one?
I'm within a year.
Okay. That's what you have to beat. Steve thinks he's in within 1 year of the correct answer. Now, if you're not in the tiebreaker, you should play along anyway, because if one of you hits this right on the nose, Meat Eater will add an extra $100 to the donation.
You know what's weird? I've lowered my board down and my shirt wiped my answer away, which I feel like is God telling me something.
What year were the first 14 wolves reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park?
See, he's got age on his side for this one.
And divine intervention, apparently. God wiped away his board to try to steer him
in
a different direction.
I did change it because I knew I had it to one. Damn it. I want to put it back, though. Because what if it was the devil that did that?
Keith, what's the spiritual world like in the First Light store here? Do you ever encounter any ghosts, any demons, anything like that? How can you help out Steve? Black widows, okay, that's close.
Ooh.
Few where were old those? Lonely ladies wander through from time to time, but that's about
but they're
as,
not ghosts.
Yeah, it's about as deep as we get here.
Okay. Old ladies, but they're not quite ghosts, Keith says. Yeah.
They're close. They're future ghosts.
Yeah.
What year were the first 14 wolves reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park?
Oh, dude, I got it within 1 year, man.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brad saying 1982, Claire saying 1991, Mary saying 2006. Cody saying 2003. Michael saying 1992. Kyle saying 2002. Logan saying 2002. Keith saying 1993. Steve saying 1995. One of you is right on the nose.
It's me.
The correct answer is 1995. Steve got it right.
Everybody's so disappointed.
He's the only one happy for himself.
What was the original year? What was the original year that got erased?
Well, I had 96, and then there and then someone stepped in from higher above and erased my board, dude. Wow. So I went with the other year I thought it was.
In January of 1995, 14 wolves from Jasper National Park in Alberta were released into Yellowstone. Almost immediately, the alpha male left the park and crossed into Montana. He was poached a couple months later by a bear hunter near Red Lodge. 1995. Steve, what were you doing in 1995?
Well, I moved to Montana in 96.
Oh, wow. That was a bone and for I knew Steve.
I knew it was right then.
Steve is our winner. He gets to choose where the $600 donation goes from Meat Eater. $600.
Why is it 600?
Because you got it right on the nose for the tiebreaker. Meat Eater will add an extra $100 to the donation. Steve, where is that $600 going to go?
Because we were talking about the Auction House of Oddities coming up, mm-hmm. I want to put my $600 into Meat Eater's Land Access Initiative.
Which is what the Auction House will help.
Well, yeah, the Auction House of Oddities supports it, so just to get the pot, you know, little pot of grease going, I'm going to put that money right in there.
Who got second place from First Light? So one of you needs to have bragging rights. Who was the closest?
Keith got 93. Was anyone closer than that?
Nope.
Keith, were you in the tiebreaker?
I was,
okay,
yeah.
Keith is the First Light winner then. Keith, you get to hold that title. There we go.
I'll take it.
Wow. Attitudes really changed around here when we
I was on a roller coaster, dude.
So we said Keith was the winner. Keith will come back next year and you can defend your title.
I'm in. Love it.
Thanks for having us. Beautiful store here in Haley. I'm jealous that it's 5 hours away from us. I'd love to come by and hang out with you guys. Keith, you make the coffee in the office? Is that what I heard you declaring?
I used to be a big coffee guy at the office. I'd get there early, get the pots loaded up.
And you quit?
I moved here.
Oh.
Now he's the coffee guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking you meant the store. Okay.
Yeah. Nah.
Come on in here. See Keith. See Mary. They'll get you equipped for whatever your next outdoor adventure is. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls. I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.